messy. Because the God of the Bible says, if you let me handle it, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So you got to have faith in the God of the Bible, which keeps you from needing vengeance for yourself. Unless you have that view of God, you will do the wrong thing because you don't have faith in God.
Fortunately, God offers us both forgiveness and reconciliation with Him. To find out how, visit TonyEvans.org today and click on the link that says Jesus. You'll find complete information and free resources to help you. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. I deserve to die. I deserve judgment. I deserve hell. How can I escape? What can I do to save myself? Nothing.
That was Billy Graham. Now, even though he was a sinner, just like the rest of us, he also knew that there was hope.
That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to take your sins. He came to die on the cross for you, in your place, because He loved you. He came to take your sins and to take your judgment and to take your hell.
If you'd like to find out more, we are here for you. Check out our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. From the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
This is Max Lucado. A few years back, 3 questions came from different people in the span of a month. Question number 1. Had you been a German Christian during World War II, would you have taken a stand against Hitler? Question number 2. Had you lived in the South during the civil rights conflict, would you have taken a stand against racism? And question number 3. When your grandchildren discover you lived during a day in which 1.75 billion people were poor and 1 billion were hungry, how will they judge your response? I did not mind the first 2 questions. Those choices were not mine. But the 3rd question has kept me awake at night. We are given an opportunity to make a big difference during a difficult time. We are created by God to do great works, and He invites us to outlive our lives, not just in heaven, but here on earth.
Sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Hey, folks. Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes along with Doug McCary coming to you live this Wednesday, April. Is it the 3rd already?
It's April the 3rd.
I need to make sure my accountant's got my taxes.
All that he needs for that.
I've already done mine, Bradley.
I've already got them done, man. Done, huh?
Of course, it's easy when you don't have a lot. It ain't a lot of complicated stuff there.
Well, I'm sure my wife's going to text me, go, don't discuss our tax stuff on the air.
That's funny.
Listen, glad you tuned in this afternoon as Doug and I are working through Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And by the way, if you haven't made it to one of the SWAT Bible studies today, get ready for tomorrow. Come tomorrow. Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods over off Belfort Parkway. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to the end of the chapter. And it is loaded.
A lot of stuff there, isn't it?
Yeah, really good stuff. And I think, you know, I don't know, you and I feel like we've known each other for so long. We make assumptions about things, and I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
When you first came to Christ, and I know we've talked about men that have been in your life over the years, you know, certainly once you got into the ministry, but early on, did anyone stress the importance of not, you know, did anyone stress the importance of being a Berean to not just hear what somebody's preaching, but actually go back and examine it?
Yeah, you know, looking back, there were people that talked about the importance of daily time in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily remember a lot of emphasis on studying the Word.
Mm.
It was just getting your daily dose, you
right.
know, kind of a thing that I remember.
Which is important.
You know, Brad, when I was growing up, I remember even as a teenager, I used to lay on my bed in the afternoons and I'd just read the Old Testament. I'd read the historical books. I've always had a fascination with history. And I love reading the Kings, the Chronicles, and, you know, 1st, 2nd Samuel, Judges. I like reading those passages, obviously, being, you know, in the background in the military and law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of that stuff. God was kind of preparing me, I guess, because there was a lot of that in those passages,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I remember, one of the youth leaders I had telling me, you just always want to spend a little bit of time every day. And yeah. I mean, he was very clear about not trying to make, you know, be burdened with it. It shouldn't be a burden to mm-hmm. us. It should
right.
be
a delight.
It ain't a burden to eat yeah. for us unless we're sick,
yes.
right? I mean, but when you're healthy, you want to
yeah.
eat.
Yeah.
And so you should want to eat from the Word every day.
Yeah. Your Word is my delight.
Yeah.
The psalmist said. Yeah. Now, I asked that just because I realized even in your teaching today, and I always, you know, when I'm teaching, I want to understand, obviously, the context of the text.
Yes.
Without context, you know, it's so important to understand words, what mm-hmm. they actually mean.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up the word
Kanaf,
K-A-N-A-F today.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard that before. And you know what it did? It just made me hungry.
Yeah.
I want to go look at this. And it's not simply to, well, so you can take the information and teach others. That's important. But so that you can understand the glories of God,
mm-hmm.
the attributes of God, the mysteries of God. I love that. I mean,
yeah, it's it's just good. And I told you, I did not learn that until I had gone over there with Ray Vanderlaan, who taught us about that. And it was really good teaching.
Well, I know we'll get into that next week. Back here on SWAT Radio.
Yeah.
I was thinking about even Talitha Kumi,
yeah.
Where Jesus, that's what he told the 12-year-old girl who had died and basically told her to, young lamb,
yeah.
get up.
Yeah. Isn't that great? That word can mean young child or young lamb.
Yeah.
And
But I thought Kumi, I'm not familiar with that word, to get up.
Yeah, just get up.
Maybe that's a word for us. Get up.
Yeah, get up. I think that's an ESPN show, too, isn't it? Get up. I think it is. Anyway, well, we got some pretty nasty weather out there. Be careful if you're driving. It was really bad earlier. I think there's still some pretty severe thunderstorms here in the North Florida area, especially around the Nocatee, St. Augustine area. So be careful out there. It's just kind of been moving across and when you get out there, I don't know what it is, Brad, about wet weather, but when people get out on the road, it's like they disconnect their brain when they get out on a wet road. Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Yeah. You asked the question at Bible study today, you ever get impatient?
Yeah.
You know what? This hour? Yes.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah. Well, we had a good group and, you know, if you're just tuning in to SWAT Radio, typically the first segment, we've done over really the past few years. Ever since we had Al Mohler on, we kind of took the first part and kind of tapped into things going on in our world. And there was some big stuff going on in Florida for you
yes.
folks in Virginia and also in up in Mississippi there. Right now, Florida has moved to enact a 6-week abortion ban. But, Will it be overturned, they say, by a pro-abortion constitutional amendment? When we vote in November, apparently that's going to be on the ballot. Did you hear that this morning?
I did hear that, read that, heard it multiple times. And, you know, on one hand, it's a big win. Yeah. A big win, certainly for life in Florida. But it could certainly be overturned come November.
Yeah. Well,
very concerning, actually.
Well, so basically, the ban that Florida had on abortion after 15 weeks is in effect now, right?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Yep, 15 weeks, and then soon to be 6 weeks.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court said there's no right to privacy here, which is that's awesome. But there's that limit's going from 15 to 6, correct?
That's correct.
Because that's in legislative, right? Has it been passed already?
Yes, that's the way I was reading it.
Okay, so that is a big deal. Again, you know, you can't legislate morality, but you can legislate life and death issues. This is a life and death issue. It's not just a woman's body. There is a life.
Well, you cannot legislate morality. You cannot legislate morality, but you can legislate good and evil.
Yes. Have you seen, I don't know if you've seen some of these stories floating around the last few weeks about these botched abortions and babies living?
No.
It's absolutely unbelievable what some people will do to terminate a pregnancy. At late stages, and some of these babies have survived, and some of the descriptions, I can't even say it. I don't even want to say it. It's just heart-wrenching to see, but hopefully this movement will continue so that we bring sanity back to this and get over this idea that it's a woman's right to terminate a baby. I mean, you know, we're talking about a life, a beating heart. At 6 weeks, there's a beating heart. I mean, it is no question that is a baby human in there. And you got more concern for baby turtles than you do baby humans.
Absolutely.
So I that's so ludicrous, isn't it?
But, you know, we used to say that those things shock us or surprise us. They don't anymore. I don't know if that means we're callous to them, but they just don't surprise me anymore. Just the evil of our culture to be so self-centered, so self-focused. It's just incredible. Just incredible. Yeah, in fact, I was looking at the briefing, and Dr. Mueller always puts a good image up there, and there's this picture of this woman, and on her palm it says, "You will not control my body." Well, then you control it and stay out of the bedroom.
Well, yeah,
are we not teaching basic, biology in elementary school these days?
Yeah, if you're pro-choice, make the choice before you get pregnant. That's the whole point. What we're trying to do is alleviate the consequences that God has put in place. First of all, every time somebody gets pregnant, it's a miracle.
It
is. And so you're trying to go in and manage what something that God has done, basically by allowing it. And so we just need to continue to pray. Thank you, Governor DeSantis. Thank you, Florida legislature, for being willing to do this. Thank
and
you, guys
Supreme
like
Court.
Aaron DiPietro and others who, Bennett Brown and others who've been very active in lobbying for these things. We're so grateful. Hey, I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you picked this up on Monday. I meant to talk about it yesterday. A new law came into force this past Monday, 2 days ago, in Scotland, and it's called the Hate Crime and Public Order Act, which basically makes it an offense to stir up hatred. This is the language of the law: to stir up hatred with threatening or abusive behavior on the basis of characteristics, including age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, and transgender identity. Now, just think about that for a second. The maximum sentence is 7 years in prison. It doesn't ban hatred against men, hatred against women.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically anything that can be construed to stir up. So what you and I talk about on air sometimes here, the fact that women are born biologically women and they can change the exterior, but it doesn't change who they are. That would be construed as offensive and hatred mm-hmm. over there and maybe stirring up. And if it's over there, it may be coming here sooner than we think.
Yeah, no doubt. And I heard that yesterday, didn't bring it up, but there's no doubt it's coming here. If the left has anything to do with that, that will be a law.
Yeah. The thing is that's so bad about this, they're coming in and they're penalizing people for value-based beliefs on the Bible that was around longer than Scotland was around. I mean, think about that. That the Bible has been teaching this belief system of men and women, of homosexuality and all this stuff before Scotland was ever even a consideration.
Right.
And now they're coming in and you better watch out. It's coming to America.
Scripture says be alert.
Well, look at what President Biden did on declaring the transgender awareness.
Yeah.
That whole thing, it's coming. So you better strap on.
Yep.
You better be up on the Bible.
Yeah. Right? Yep. You better be alert. Hey, glad you tuned in. We're going to take a quick break. Call us this afternoon at 844-777-7928. You can also email us any questions or comments you might have to ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida Georgia Truth Network on the air in St. Nicholas at 91.7.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. We're going to wrap up Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. We've been looking in this text of where Jesus heals
a man with a demon.
But well, lots of demons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Lots of demons.
a legion of demons, right? But and we're looking at this as God reveals really the destructive power of darkness and the life-giving power of the light of Christ. And then we're going to look at today the two responses of man to that light.
You know, Brad, just working through it, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about the whole possession thing. We kind of broached it a little bit. Growing up, did you ever, like at post, let's say post coming to Christ, did you ever think about people? Did you ever worry about being possessed? Did you ever think about it? What did you hear any talk about demons or anything?
No, never. Isn't that weird?
We don't hear a lot about it.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, I think sometimes, and I'm just maybe speaking on my own behalf here. It's a matter of the circle you're in. You know, the church doctrines, what's taught, what is elevated as important, maybe what's not as important. You get around other people who think of demons around every corner.
Yeah.
I certainly grew up in a bit more conservative mindset. So, yeah, to answer your question, I did not hear a lot about demons.
Yes.
Or demon possession.
Well, the only place, you know, you remember the movie The Exorcist, right?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that was the first, I believe that's the first time I ever really even thought about somebody being possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Bible, I think there's only one place in Scripture where it talks about exorcism, and it's over in Acts 19. I think when these men tried to cast out demons and they got beat up and left naked, you know, that's the only time. And so Jesus was encountering demons in a lot of places, and every time he encountered them, they would always, hey, why are you here? What's going on? Like, don't torment us, please. They were very submissive, but they were concerned and fearful. And I think at the end of the program yesterday, we were talking about the only thing that demons and Satan fears is Jesus. They don't fear man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't see any biblical instruction in Timothy or Titus about casting out demons. In fact, in the Old Testament, demons were never confronted directly. And there were demons
in
the Old Testament, but there was no confrontation. Mm-hmm. So why now? Well, Jesus is on the scene. And the timeline is getting closer. And when Jesus goes into the synagogue, which, by the way, the last place you would think a demon would be is in a synagogue.
Yeah, exactly.
That tells you where the state of the synagogues were at.
Right.
That they're there. And I promise you there's demon-possessed people in churches in America now. Yeah. Because
wouldn't that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. That's where Satan wants to be.
Yeah.
If he can convince you, if he can convince you that since you're in church, you're in good shape, that'd be the thing to do.
Well, demons possess people. They have no ability to take a human form, unlike we see on TV and movies or mm-hmm. stuff. They have to have a human host, if you will. And so they cried out to Jesus in this text we talked about, and they said, hey, don't take us to the abyss. Don't send us there, because that's the holding area for cell. They wanted to stay in the country. We read that. I'll have you read it again today, the text. But they said, hey, there's a great herd of pigs over there. I mean, there's all those pigs. And by the way, just for people just tuning in, the pig was a sacred sacrificial animal to the people of the Decapolis. It was to the people in the Decapolis what a lamb was to the Jewish people. It was a sacrificial animal for them. That's why there were so many of them there. And so these demons said, hey, send us into the pigs. In fact, they begged to do that. And so Jesus gave them permission. And the demons left the man and entered the pigs, all 2,000 pigs. So that makes me think that the demons, there were 2,000 demons in the man,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy when you stop and think about it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of demons.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. We can we can even discuss this off the air, behind the scenes, you know, where in verse 10, well, first of all, he's, you know, he says, what have you to do with me in verse 7? Mm-hmm. And then in verse 10, it says, and he begged him earnestly mm-hmm. not to send them out of the country. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
They wanted to stay there. It was a dark place.
It was lucrative for them.
Well, probably. Very well.
They were making progress.
Yeah, they loved being there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and think about it. There was nobody there was a follower of Jesus yet. I mean, this is Decapolis. This is mm-hmm. pagan central.
Yeah,
and so Jesus shows up into this hellhole, if you will, because it's so dark. And the first thing the guy does is come down running. He comes up to him, and Jesus, immediately the light overpowers the darkness. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the destructive power of darkness on Monday, and yesterday we really looked at how Jesus brings light. Light will always win over dark. It will always illuminate. The darkness can't stand up and overpower the light. And so Jesus is that light. And so that he came and he encountered the demons. And we said, you know, we covered yesterday, the Legion was the name. He said, our name is Legion. We are many. And Legion meant conquest. It meant death. It meant destruction and slavery. And just to go back, I'm going to have you pick up at 6. Read verses 6. We already talked about the man and all the problems he had in the Decapolis. This, he was naked, he was homeless, he was uncontrollably violent, he was a sociopath, he was suicidal.
Strong.
Very, very supernaturally strong. These are all the destructive powers of the darkness. And we saw yesterday the life-giving power of the light in Jesus as he confronted the demons in the guy. And so read 6 through 16 as we look at how do the people in that region respond to Jesus' encounter with this guy.
Yeah, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Verse 11, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. Verse 14, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 16, and those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. This is the very word of God.
This response is really, it boggles the mind to me for these people. And what we're going to see is two responses of the people to the light. But before we get there, we got to go back a little bit yesterday, because yesterday we kind of got down to about verse 12, I think we mm-hmm. got to, where they begged. And so he did send them into the pigs. He gave them permission. And Brad, have you ever thought about animals being possessed?
No. Although I think I've had a couple of dogs like
yeah,
that.
My wife would say we had a couple of dogs too. But it was that pigs actually were inhabited by the demons, and they immediately rushed down into the sea. And why? Like, why didn't he just cast the demons into the abyss? You know, that they didn't want to go there. Why would he even honor their request? Think about that for a second. Why would you honor the request of a demon? Don't send us there. And he goes, okay, you go. Go to the pigs. And they go. Well, Satan thinks he's so smart, and demons think they're smart. They think they're outsmarting God. God actually uses their desires to accomplish his will.
Mm-hmm.
One, by the demons going into the pigs, people had a visible proof that they left the man.
Yeah, exactly. And just the power of these demons.
Yeah. I mean, it immediately took them down into the sea, right?
Yeah.
But the second thing is, it showed the destruction that was caused by darkness. It was a visible demonstration of that. And so it's a picture of what happens when darkness controls us. A very good picture there. So
it's a great picture. We'll pick it up when we come back from the break. Call us at 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm John Scott. Thousands of homes are without electricity after powerful storms roared through several states. Donna Warder has more.
In Louisville, Kentucky, Mayor Craig Greenberg said in a news conference carried by WHAS that he's declaring a state of emergency for Jefferson County.
There is definitely significant damage to homes. There's significant damage to fences, to trees.
The storms prompted tornado watches overnight in parts of Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Virginia, and West Virginia. About 140,000 homes and businesses in West Virginia initially lost power. In Wisconsin, more than 70,000. I'm Donna Warder.
Also at srnnews.com, some of Israel's closest allies have condemned the deaths of seven aid workers who were killed by airstrikes in Gaza.
The dead from Monday night strikes included three British citizens, Polish and Australian nationals, a Canadian-American dual national, and a Palestinian. The deaths of the World Central Kitchen workers threatened to set back efforts by the US and other countries to open a maritime corridor for aid from Cyprus to help ease the desperate conditions in northern Gaza. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Republican U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert underwent surgery Tuesday in Colorado for a blood clot in her leg. The Congresswoman's campaign says she's expected to make a full recovery. Boebert has represented the same Colorado House district since 2020. Jurors begin deliberations in the corruption trial of a former U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration agent in Buffalo. Joseph Bongiovanni is charged with accepting cash bribes to shield suspects with connections to organized crime. The Dow ahead 59 points and the NASDAQ adding 77. This is SRN News.
Lori Short knows that God's Word has been the key ingredient that helped her grow deeper in faith and closer to God. Hi, Mark Gothier for Making Your Life Count. Lori shares ways Scripture has been meaningful to her.
Really, the verse that started me on this journey was a verse. It's Isaiah 50:10. Which is, let him or her who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on your God. And the next verse says, but woe to you who light your own fires and provide your own torches. And I thought, that is so true. We so often mess up our lives when we just can't wait for God.
So look to God and his word for guidance. His timing is perfect. You can trust him no matter what it is you might be facing in life.
There's major delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on I-95 northbound at Airport Road, blocking two left lanes. Also, there's an accident on I-10 eastbound at McDuff Avenue, blocking the left lane. In the opposite direction, there's emergency vehicles I-10 westbound at McDuff Avenue, blocking the left lane there. Gradually becoming mostly clear tonight, low 51. Thursday, sunny, high 71. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in today. If you want to call this afternoon, you know we always love getting calls. 844-777-7928. Jeremy is ready to take those calls and hand them off here. And, you know, Doug, I think so much for me as I've been looking through this text is, you know, as our study last week, Jesus calms the storm, you know, this natural phenomenon of a storm happens, and Jesus has supernatural power to calm that storm. Now you've got him in the Decapolis in this just, you know, demonic power that's on display in this man.
Yeah.
And Jesus has power over that, supernatural power.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Jesus is the only power that will cast out a demon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the power to cast out a demon.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles, apart from Jesus giving them that authority, they were apostles. They cast out demons with his authority. Paul did too. But they were apostles. And you know, over in Hebrews chapter 2, it says that certain signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit were given to the apostles. These were big A apostles, mm-hmm, who had a very specific task. You and I can't just go up and cast a demon out. There's only one way a demon comes out of somebody, and that's Jesus Christ. Yeah. We can pray. Mm-hmm. We can ask God, sure, to do it.
Sure.
But Jesus is the only. You can't speak to a demon with authority. Only Jesus can get the demon out of there.
Mm.
And there's a lot of people out there today that put on displays, like they try to do a lot of things, and you go, well, how are they doing it? Well, it's not just religious people. Even mediums think they can make demons get out of people. Well, how do they do that? Well, it's just phony stuff. It's not real, or if it is real, it's satanic. Because,
mm-hmm,
if it ain't coming for Jesus, there's only one other way it's coming out.
Yeah.
And Satan loves to emulate. He loves to create confusion, and that's what he does. And, you know, you hear all these people trying to use formulas and stuff to get
cantations,
people.
Yeah.
You just pray. You pray. Jesus said this kind comes out by what? Prayer and fasting even. And so, you know, Tim listens a lot, and he's a SWAT guy, and he just texted. He said, I was struck by the fact that even pigs, they needed permission even to go into pigs, one of the lowest animals, mm-hmm, out there. And they couldn't even take control of the pigs without Jesus' permission. Isn't that interesting?
Exactly.
It's good insight, Tim.
But I think what's interesting also is, what is the purpose of a demon? Mm. What is the purpose of a demon? It's to, I mean, you talked about it yesterday. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
What's he killing? What's he destroying? What's he stealing? And, you know, in the case of this demoniac, this man who's possessed by a demon, he's being destroyed,
mm-hmm,
from the inside out. And now he's cast out of the man and placed into the pigs.
Yeah.
And what happens? They're destroyed.
Right away. And, you know, there's no question the man tried to cut himself. He tried to kill himself.
Mm-hmm. That's how bad he wanted to be.
Yeah.
But he couldn't because Jesus wouldn't allow him to die because he had a purpose for Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, verse 14, the herdsmen told it in the city and country. That basically means everywhere. And it says people came to see. Matthew throws in people. The whole city came out to see what was going on. Because the herdsmen were witnesses to the exchange. They heard Jesus. They heard the exchange between mm-hmm. the demoniac. And in verse 15 and 16, it says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the demon-possessed man who had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind.
I think what's fascinating about that, I put this in my notes, that Luke says he was naked before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now he's clothed.
Clothed.
He was once a raving maniac. Now he's at peace.
Who put the clothes on him?
Interesting.
Who put the clothes on Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
God did. God clothed mm-hmm. the guy. He subdued the guy. And these people had never seen a supernatural power like this, and they were afraid. And, you know, the thing that is striking about their response is they weren't like, wow, look at whatever his name was. You know, we don't even know the name of the guy, but let's just say his name was Adam. Mm-hmm. Look at Adam. Mm-hmm. He's okay in a celebration. No, none of that.
Yeah, right.
They were afraid. And it says in verse 17, we see the first of the two responses to the light is they beg Jesus to leave. Get out of here. We're afraid. Because they were more afraid of God being in their midst than they were of Satan being in their midst. Think about that.
It's amazing.
They preferred darkness over light, depravity over divinity. Why do you think they wanted him to leave?
I think there was fear about what he might do. I mean, his power was just on display. The fear over the power of God, what he might do in this area, which makes you think they knew they were in sin.
Well, yeah. What do people in darkness who do evil deeds prefer, light or darkness?
Yeah, darkness.
Read John real quick, John 3:19-21. John 3, everybody knows John 3:16, God so loved the world he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Will not perish, but have everlasting life. But John 3:19-21 clearly lays out why people don't want to be in the light.
Yeah,
they prefer darkness.
And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God.
Well, they want to keep doing evil. Mm-hmm. They do not want to be around the light. They don't want to be around the light. And so they're like, hey, I like my sin more than God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the light exposes me. None of us really like to be exposed, do we?
No, we don't.
We don't like exposure. Yeah, I equate it to, you know, have you ever gone into your kitchen or your bedroom or anywhere when it's raining? In Florida, we get palmetto bugs. I don't know about Virginia Beach or Meridian.
Come on, Doug. You're from the South. They call them palmetto. It's a roach.
It's a roach. Yeah, it is a roach. But in Florida, they're all, I mean, you see them from palmetto trees and mm-hmm. the bugs. So a lot of times when it rains, they will kind of gravitate to inside. What happens when you turn the light on?
Yeah. They scurry.
They do not want to be in the light. They like hiding in the darkness. Mm-hmm. They go into the crevices. They want to be in the dark. That's what we do. But the light exposes that they didn't like it. And so they wanted to be away. The majority of the world does not want anything to do with Jesus. They don't. And so Jesus obliged them. He gets in the boat, verse 18, And he never came back to Kersey. This is modern day Kersey. Mm-hmm. He never came back, but he did come back to the Decapolis. And we know from Mark chapter 7 and 8, which we'll get into in a few weeks, that the man had an impact over there, right? The man had an impact. The man who had been demon-possessed was begging Jesus to go with him. He did not want to go back into the darkness. He wanted to stay in the light. He didn't want anything to do with his old life. But what did Jesus tell him? Verse 19, he said, no, you need to go back. Mm-hmm. You go, wait a minute. This doesn't even seem right. So the demons asked Jesus for something, and he goes, okay. The people in darkness ask Jesus for something and goes, okay. And the guy who literally wants to follow Jesus, he says no to his request. Why? Well, Jesus has the right and reserves the right to tell his people to do what he wants them to do. Now, he can make people do anything if he wants, but he says, no, you want to go in the darkness? I'll let you go in the darkness. You demons want to go in the pig? Your time is coming. You go. But for my people, they're going to serve me. And so he sends this guy back as the first missionary and the only missionary at this time in the Decapolis, which is amazing. This guy with a terrible past, but God redeemed him. And he does what he said in Acts 1:8. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then Israel. So go back to your Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And he did. He was set free to serve, like Paul says in Romans 6. And, you know, when we come back, he is the second response. He obeyed, which is what God's people do.
Yep, that's right.
They obey.
That's right. Good word. Call us in this last segment, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. You can also email us at ask@swatradio.com. I hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Brunswick at 91.3.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top. Hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. I want to mention real quick, if you didn't make one of the Bible studies today, there's another one tomorrow morning. You in person, Jumpin' Jack's House of Food on Belfort Road. You can join them 6:30 in the morning. And then there's a Zoom call tomorrow night and another study on Friday morning down in St. Augustine. Easiest way to check those out, go to SWATradio.com. Click on the meetings tab. You'll see the various locations and times and places that we meet. And love to have you in person. And Doug, I know you've got a great guest tomorrow, Nancy Piercy.
Yes, I am really excited. I hope you will join us. She is the author of the book Toxic War on Masculinity. And I'm excited to have her. She has been interviewed on a lot of news programs and, people like Sean McDowell, Eric Metaxas, Ali Beth Stuckey, they all talk about how what a good job she does with this book to help deal with today's warped view of gender, and especially all the attacks we see on men in our culture. So I hope you'll join us. You know, she's gotten so many good reviews. And she said that the church has become a place where men feel they are asked to leave their masculinity at the door. And they shouldn't, right? I mean, even at SWAT, we talk about this, mm-hmm. about how, you know, we're warriors.
Absolutely. But
we are warriors, and we're spiritual warriors. And, you know, she has done a great job in this, bringing sociological findings and evidence that basically Christian men make the most loving and engaged husbands and fathers, not professing Christian men, but Christian men. There's a difference, right?
True. Yeah, true.
And so that's the result of empirical research, she says. So it is a really, really good book, and I hope you'll join us. She will be with us tomorrow live on air. We won't take calls, but if you would like to send a question, you can send a question to ask@swatradio.com, and I'll try to get that to her. Again, Nancy Piercy, she'll be on tomorrow, so I hope you'll join us. Brad, I want to go back real quick. By the way, we did get a question about the demoniacs, or demoniac, actually. In the Matthew account, there's two men.
Mm-hmm.
And but the focus in Mark is on one guy.
Yeah.
And people go, well, could there have been two? Yeah, there very well could have been. But the focus was on the one. Matthew wrote about two. And so they're very well could have been two, because Matthew wrote that there were two. You know, we can believe that there were two that were there, but the focus is on the one guy who had the legion, you know, at least the one spokesman for the demons in that guy referred to himself as legion. And so it doesn't change what happened. But when you read the three passages, it's in Matthew 8, Luke 8, and Mark chapter 5. Matthew is the only account. And, you know, when you look at the different views, sometimes people record certain things. They may have, you know, like... It's not a bad thing that they all don't tell exactly the same story. Mm-hmm. If I put three witnesses on a stand in a courtroom and they tell exactly word for word the same story, you're going to think they got together and collaborated on this.
That's right.
But Mark and Luke don't say that there was only one guy. They just talk about one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference. So,
well, not reading into it, but obviously we're going to look at a few verses coming up, because it specifically highlights this one man in particular. It's not just maybe there were two guys who had demons, but this one particular guy, mm-hmm. we're going to see how God works through him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mark really brings that to the surface.
Yeah, there was I read an example when I was getting ready for this that I thought was really good. If let's say you have your kitchen table and I put two apples on it, and you have three people see it, one person goes to one. Well, there's two apples on the table. You know, that's a statement. Another person makes a statement. There's only one apple on the table. Well, that's wrong. That's contradictory. But if he says there's an apple on the table, is that wrong?
No.
It's one can say there's two. One can say there's an apple on the table. Both are right.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was focused in on this one named Legion. And so the point of this text is Jesus dealing with the man who was possessed by the Legion, the many, many demons. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis. And it says, everyone marveled. This is the right response to the light. It's the second response. The people there had the wrong response. They didn't want the light. They wanted to go away. This guy did. And I want to read a text real quick because the disciples were sitting there watching everything. They probably never got out of the boat, Brad. Remember, it had been a pretty humble ride for the last few minutes going to the shore.
They were probably hurling in the bottom of the boat.
Oh, man, they were not doing well. But listen to this passage in Isaiah. And see if maybe this didn't come to their mind as they watched all this stuff play out. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. Now, did the demoniac seek Jesus?
No.
No. He just went down there because this guy's invading his territory, and all of a sudden he's in the middle of this encounter where Jesus is talking to the demons. I said, here am I to a nation that was not called by my name. This is the Decapolis. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens, making offerings on bricks. This is pagan worship. Who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places. This guy lives in the tombs. Mm-hmm. Who eats pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels. I mean, I'm almost sure these guys were thinking of this when they witnessed what was going on. That would have come to mind. This is about judgment and salvation comes to the pagans. And what Jesus is saying is the Gentiles, they're my people too. I've got mm-hmm. people within the Gentile nations, just like I've got people within the Jewish nation.
Yep, that's right. This is why we don't unhitch from the Old Testament.
No, you can't. You can't. And so, you know, what are our takeaways, Brad, as we kind of close out our time for today? Jesus deliberately went to the place of darkness and evil, and he confronted it. We don't wait for evil and darkness to come to us. We take the initiative. We are called to, you know, to put the light of Jesus on display in these dark places around us. And a lot of people think you got to be a Billy Graham or a Johnny Mac or John MacArthur. Just go tell people what happened in your life. What has God done? This guy didn't go to seminary. This guy didn't go to even, he probably had zero mm-hmm. theological background except that he encountered Jesus and then he went and told people. Second, you're going to meet resistance. You're going to be rejected as you put your faith on display, but Jesus overcomes the darkness. We do not have to fear. We don't have to fear the darkness, people. Mm. We just go and do what he's called us to do. And third, one person can make a huge difference. This guy, this lone witness for Jesus in the Decapolis, he had no idea what God was going to do, and we don't know how God would use us. Yeah. In Mark 7, Brad, read Mark 7:31. Read that.
Yeah. excuse me. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it.
All right, so Brad, let me just stop you. Yeah. How would they know to bring a guy to Jesus? This is the Decapolis.
Yeah.
What that they wanted darkness. Why? How would they know to bring a guy to be healed by Jesus?
Because there was once a demon-possessed man
that's
there
right.
who right. was told to stay.
Yeah. Read Matthew 15 real quick. Matthew 15:20.